Praise the Lord. You know, the message today is intended to inspire you. It's intended to encourage you. It's intended to uplift you. And in the process, you might feel convicted. Because sometimes God convicts us of things where we've erred. And it's no doubt that we're in a spiritual battle. And yes, it is often meant to take our eyes off of our Savior. It's meant to take our attention away from our Creator. Throughout our lives, we all face circumstances that can bring a river of doubt. And sometimes it's hard for us to cross that river. Sometimes it's hard for us to get through that river of doubt because so many things are pounding on us. It is like a flooded river, and we just can't seem to get through it. But Almighty God's always there for His people, and He's always on time, as we've seen in the first seven messages of this series. And I've given it that title, He's Always on Time. And the message today is crossing that damned river. The river is dammed by God. He closes it down. He puts in the dam. He makes the way across for His people. My family, as I talked about in our prayer time, experienced God's timing in perfect precision this week. It could not have been any better. Had my wife been just a little further along in her journey, if she'd have been traveling just a little bit faster, or maybe if one of those delays that sometimes happen didn't happen, she might have been right there when that car crossed over the double yellow line and it would have crashed into her instead of going around her, hitting the pole, and going alongside of our van on the opposite side. I'll tell you, as that man who was clearly intoxicated went around them after hitting that pole, and that pole sprung like it was in a slingshot toward them, fortunately it stuck to the wires and bounced back. And she didn't get hit, and Aiden wasn't injured, and Abby wasn't injured. I praise God. You know, he was heading right for them. But somehow, God, through His providence, kept that from happening. He kept them from being harmed. And as I've told other people, I don't expect the devil to do anything less. But I have to call him out as a coward. He goes after my family. And you think that's going to make me stop? It isn't going to make me stop. It's going to give me more determination to do what God wants me to do. I will go forward. I will continue to fight until God takes me off this earth. And it doesn't matter to me. I want to draw those souls out of darkness. And I will help anybody who needs help. I will do whatever I can to draw people into the light of Christ. And if that means out of addiction, then that's what I'm going to call them out of. You know, it's only by God's grace that other lane was empty. Because if it hadn't been, she wouldn't have been able to swerve over there and get out of the way of that pole that was coming at her like an arrow. God does that. He's on time, even when He doesn't answer us the way that we think He should. Even if, you know, my thought might be, well, God, You shouldn't have let that happen. You shouldn't have let that guy come across the road. And you know what my aunt said? I didn't say that, but my aunt said, God chose her to get him off that road. A divine appointment. And I said, praise God. Praise God. He stopped maybe a tragedy just a little further down the road. With that situation, as frightening as it was, when I came home, I was over here at the office, I was working, and I came home, and Aiden came running out of the house. Pappy, Pappy, the van is wrecked, and a man with a white car, he hit the van, and he did this, and he's just going on and on and on. He was really worked up. And I said, where? I started looking around the van to see where the damage was. And he's going on and on. He just couldn't stop telling me about this. But God was on time. God kept that from happening. And so when I went in the house, then Chris explained it to me, and then Abby, I praise God, Abby recognized that it was the hand of God that protected them. Now to me, that's a praise report. God was right there at that exact moment of this near tragedy. I pray to impress upon each and every one who hears this message, everybody in this room and anybody who hears it through the CDs or online, I pray to impress upon you the truth of how God is always on time, even though sometimes it looks like He's not even there. Because for some of us, you know, God being there would mean that the accident wouldn't have almost happened. There wouldn't even been a chance of it. But in God's providence, we can't recognize how He handles things. Sometimes He's training us to give up our own expectations. Yeah, I'd expect that God would protect my family, and I'd expect that He wouldn't even let that happen. That would be my expectation. And I was stunned after they told me this happened. After I realized what had happened, I was stunned. And it was hours before I could even respond and send out to people a praise to God. Anybody who knows me knows I'm pretty quick to praise God when something right goes on, okay? When God leads me, I'm praising Him. I'm lifting up His praises because He inhabits the praises of His people. He says so in His Word. He inhabits the praises of His people. Who will shout a praise with me today? Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! He inhabits the praises of His people. And if we want His presence in this building, we need to shout a praise to Him. Because He will inhabit the praises of His people. He does inhabit the praises of His people. He wants to build faith in us. And sometimes, by guiding us out of our own expectations, it strengthens our faith. My faith is strengthened in thinking how Chris and Abby and Aiden could have been injured or worse. Doesn't take much to total a vehicle these days, does it, Brian? One little hit, bam, is too expensive to fix it. And you know, we rely on that van. We don't want anything to happen to it either. I'm not putting down the idea that God saved my family, but He also saved the van, and I'm not going to lose sight of that either. Sometimes He's training us to give up our enemies too. And you know, the devil's our enemy, ultimately. And that He would take somebody that He's gotten a hold of, they find a syringe and found pills in the car, He would take somebody that He's gotten a hold of and send them like a thousands of pound bullet at my family. Doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me that the enemy would do that. But it's not going to stop me, as I said before. Letting go of our enemies, giving up our enemies, that releases us from a self-imposed prison, folks. We were at the Lenten service the other night, and Pastor Jim was talking about giving up enemies. And he brought a great story out. I won't share all the details, but one of the things that I said to him when I walked up to him after the service, I thanked him for the message, and I said, when we let go of our enemies, we are freeing ourselves from a prison. Okay? He said, oh, John, I wish I'd have said that. But I like it, he said. You can tell people I like it. Oh, praise God. And today we're going to look at another example of God being on time. We're going to look at Him as the Israelites and Joshua were facing a great raging river in flood stage. Joshua was called to lead the people of God into the promised land, and to get there they had to cross this river, the Jordan River, the very river that Jesus was baptized in. And as they faced that river, they had to step into that dangerous river to see the results. They couldn't just go to the edge of it. They couldn't stand and look at it from a distance. They actually had to get their feet wet, folks. They had to step into it. And I want you to remember, God said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Can anybody tell me the answer to that question? No, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. And I want you to ask this question every time you face a difficult circumstance or impossible task in your life. They couldn't cross that river. There was no way they could cross that river in human terms. And this is this picture of us. When we come to Christ, we cannot bring our own salvation. None of us can cross that river. But God makes the way through Jesus Christ. And so I want you to open your Bibles to the third chapter of Joshua. If you're using a Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 150. Page 150 in the Pew Bible. And we're going to begin at verse 1. And we will read through verse 17. Joshua chapter 3. Beginning at the beginning of the chapter. And we're going to read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 17. I'm reading from the New King James Version because that's what the Pew Bibles happen to be right now. Let's hear what's written there, shall we? Then Joshua rose early in the morning And they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. They took a break. They went to the river, and then they stopped. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in measure." I looked that up. It's about a half a mile. It's about a half a mile distance. He's saying, you let the priests get out there, and then you go. "Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." Now, there's a message right there. You've never come this way before. Where your life is going right now, you've never gone that way before. Today, as you hear, is the first day of the rest of your life. And you can step out in that day. You can step out in this day. You can step out in the rest of your life in a different way than you ever went before. I'm not going to go into that message. Just wanted to share it. Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Wonders. And then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." And Joshua was about 80 years old, you know, at this time. So don't tell me you're too old for God to use you. All right? Don't do that to me. Because I'll tell you you're wrong. I'll just tell you straight up. No, you're wrong. God will use you. Doesn't matter how old you are. God can use you. Okay? Doesn't matter how young you are either. I mean, we can look at some of those examples. "You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you've come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan." So Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites." These were the people that were not the people of God. And God said he's going to go with them to drive those others out of that land. And he wanted them to see with this miracle at the river that he is in control and he can drive out anything, even the river of doubt that they obviously were hit with when they got to that water's edge. And it was a mile wider, and it was in flood stage. And they had to be thinking, now this is going to be something. I don't know how we're going to get across this, because it was at least 10 feet deep, maybe deeper. How do you cross a river like that when it's flooding? He says, "Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan." Into. They had to step into the water. "Now therefore take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand as a heap." In other words, God's going to dam the river. So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Ahuribah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all of Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. And that might have taken weeks, 2.5 million people. It took a long time. Now, we can't even imagine what it's like to come to a flooding river and expect God to make some miracle so we can get across, but that's where he wants us to go. And let me tell you, folks, when he wants us to go, we need to step out and go. Let's pray for a moment, please. Heavenly Father, please hear my prayer. We are weak, but you are strong. Forgive us of our weaknesses. Embolden us to proclaim your truth today. Deliver us from evil, Lord. Make me your servant today, Father. Take me for your exclusive use here. May I speak your word clearly and concisely. Speak into our souls, Father. Speak into the depths of our souls. Please open the ears of everyone who hears this message and bless them with hearing, spiritual hearing. Steady us as we serve you. Enable us to watch and patiently wait for Christ our Redeemer. Thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And I ask that you would anoint all who hear these words. Use my preaching in your might. Keep our faith, not in the wisdom of men, but in demonstration of your spirit and your power. And I pray that your will would be done. And all of God's people said, amen. And now, Joshua was given the mantle of Moses. Moses died at the edge of the wilderness. The Israelites had wandered for 40 years in that wilderness because of their disbelief, because of their dishonesty with God, because of their grumbling, because of their sin. But here they were granted access to the promised land. It's written in Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. But as they approached, they found a serious problem. The river was flooded. This river was in the way. They were blocked. And that river can represent a lot of things, folks. Almighty God had given Joshua his marching orders, cross the river. I'm telling you now, cross the river. Don't stand on this side and give God excuses why you can't go in. You cross. You do what he says. Joshua tells the people to follow the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, but they were supposed to stay about a half a mile away from them. They had no bridge. There was no shallow ford for them to cross over. And sometimes rivers will be filled with a path for crossing. It's almost like a dam, but the water flows over it. And it widens out at that area. You can find that in old creeks, even in this area, where people used to cross the river, cross the water. They'd build up an area so they could cross over that water. But they didn't have one of those there. Still, Joshua trusted Almighty God's command, and he proceeded by faith, and he told the people exactly what to do. Cross the river. But you wait until the priests go ahead of you. They didn't proceed to go over that river until those priests went first. And the way didn't open up either. When they got to the edge, the path hadn't opened up. It wasn't until the priests stepped into that water, and they could have lost faith. What if that water would have grabbed them and swept them off their feet? The Ark of the Covenant could have been lost. This could have been a very dangerous situation, but still they stepped into the water. Think of Peter. Jesus came to him. He's in the boat. They were in a storm. And Jesus calmed the sea after Peter stepped out. He said, Peter, come on. Peter said, if that's you, Lord, call me out. He calls him out. Peter steps out. Now, he could have got stuck halfway. There's a lot of Christians that are walking their life that way, halfway in, halfway out of the boat, halfway in faith, halfway out. But God wants us to be all the way. And those priests could have done the same thing. They could have stopped. They could have lost their faith. But God required them to participate in obedience to show that they believed God before he made the miracle. This wasn't a last-minute, just-in-time rescue. Some of those accounts that we've looked at were. That water wasn't bearing down on them and God stopped it. But it was a right-on-time situation. They needed to get across that river. God had told them to go across the river, and God made the miracle right on time. It was just on time. The priests and the people's faith was tested. But Almighty God redeemed them from that raging river and the doubt that it brought. It's written that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away. The waters failed and were cut off. Do you think for a moment that if God could stop a river like the River Jordan that was nearly a mile wide or maybe wider than a mile wide at the time of flooding, do you think for a moment that he can't fix whatever the problem is in your life? You got a mile wide river he's told you to cross? He can make the way for you. Our Creator is definitely unpredictable. And his word reveals many 11th hour saves. We've looked at some of them. He has an abundant life prepared for those who radically trust him. This is a picture of crossing the Jordan. He had an abundant life for them. No, it wasn't over. They had to fight when they got over there too. But he had an abundant life. He had a land that was filled with milk and honey. In other words, all the sweetness of life. He had that prepared for them. And he has that prepared for each and every one who come to him through Christ. We have to radically trust him in spite of the evidence. We have to obey in spite of the potential consequences. Because sometimes when we step into that water, there's going to be consequences. At the very least, your feet might get cold. Your clothes will get wet. But God wants you to obey. Those who obey and follow the word of God will do well and make great progress on the path that he lays out for them. And sometimes, folks, it is not easy. I'm living proof of it. It's not always easy to step out on that path that God has laid out for you. Sometimes it is downright hard. Sometimes it seems impossible, but God makes a way. You know, as we follow him, we're animated and emboldened for his work as we heed his divine instructions. He makes us stronger to do what it is that he has for us to do. Offer to God thanksgiving. Give him praise. Pay your vows to the Most High. Praise God. He inhabits the praises of his people. You're going to get sick of hearing me say that, but I'm going to keep telling you. Praise God. He inhabits the praises of his people. Do you want to be nearer to God? Praise him. You want to be nearer to God? Praise him. You want to be nearer to God? Praise him. Yes. He says, call upon me. In the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15. Offer to God thanksgiving. Pay him your vows. Joshua is a picture of Christ as the captain of our salvation. Did you know that? In Hebrews chapter 2, it's written, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus himself had to suffer. He was made perfect through suffering. Do you think that you're not going to have any suffering in this life? Anybody tells you you're not going to have any suffering, they're lying to you. Our best life is on the other side of eternity. Shout a praise to Almighty God, because he is always on time, even when it looks like he's not. Joshua was anointed to lead the Israelites after Moses. Moses delivered the law to the people, and Joshua, God's grace. There's a picture of it. Joshua reveals the grace of God to humanity. I'll make a way. You can't make it on your own, but I'll make a way. Woo! Praise God. Yes. In John chapter 1 and verse 17, we hear the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And here we see Joshua as the bearer of God's grace. Wow. And crossing the river is a picture of the cross of Christ. He makes the way for us to come out of that life we were in that wilderness of sin. He makes the way for us to cross over that river that separates us from him. It's a picture of how those who come to Almighty God through Christ die to their self and their old life and their fleshly ways. Because he gives us the power to do it. He gives us the ability to do it. The river symbolizes our spiritual death and resurrection. We learn how wide the gap is between our old lives and the new life in Christ that we have through his substitutionary work. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. And there's a gap between us and God. And he bridges it. He makes the way. He dams that river. were set apart between the natural life and the spiritual life. And Joshua led the people to victory as Christ leads whosoever will come. In Romans 8:37, we hear, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And in Galatians chapter 2, we hear, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but he lives in me. Woo! Praise God! It's not me. You wouldn't want to hear from me. Let me tell you, folks, if you knew my life before Christ, when I was outside of Christ, you wouldn't want me here. But God made a way through Christ. We're called as little children to pay attention to Christ as our advocate. Joshua served as the advocate of God. Christ serves as our advocate. It's written in 1 John, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. What's propitiation mean? That's a big word. It means he paid the price. He satisfied the payment. There was a payment due. The wages of sin is death. We are all due that payment. And Jesus paid what we could not, so that we could cross that river over to Almighty God and the promise that he provides for us. Crucified with Christ, we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. And the life that we live in this flesh, we live by faith in him. Because he loved us and he gave himself for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life happens as we cross over. The river presented a barrier. It's a picture of our enemies. And I'm almost finished, folks. Satan and those he controls are enemies of God's people. They are enemies. Our flesh is an enemy. Our flesh gets in the way. It presents a barrier between us and God. The stain and allure of sin is an enemy. And sometimes it's like a raging river. Blocks our way from that promised land. But in God's rescue of his people from that raging river, we can see his people are not to fear their most powerful enemies. We're not to fear the things that block us from reaching God. Almighty God can make our worst enemies shrink. He can make them withdraw. He can make them retreat when he pleases. And he can dam the river of doubt too. Oh, we all have doubts. There's no way to say that we don't. Even when we walk by faith, sometimes our sight tricks us into thinking maybe this isn't the way. But God's making the way, and we're to follow that way. True believers are called to move dutifully forward, even when the great difficulties are foreseen. You think those people didn't see that great difficulty of that raging river a mile wide? You know, imagine trying to cross a river from here to Main Street. That's a heck of a cross, okay? We're called to depend on divine sufficiency for anything we find ourselves insufficient for. And so I ask that question again. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything impossible for God? No. Passing over the great Jordan River is a picture of Christ, who's our Passover, making the way open to God. Just as they couldn't pass over that river without God, none of us can pass over the barriers to our salvation without Christ. Do you hear that, folks? We can't pass over the barriers to our salvation without Christ. Crossing that Jordan River is a type of a believer's death with Christ, where we pass over from death to new life. We die to the self. We die to the flesh. We die to sin. We are made new again in Christ, and he lives in us. And so we are presented to God, holy, clean, propitiation, wiped out our sin debt. In Ephesians chapter 2, we hear, but God, who's rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive. We're alive. And we are those people who can proclaim that new life to others. In fact, we're commanded to do so. By grace you've been saved, so praise the Lord. If we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. No longer enslaved by it. We've been set free. We don't need to sin. There's nobody can say, if they've come to Christ, oh, the devil made me do it. No, the devil can't make you do it. You choose to do it. And God, by his grace, forgives you. But at the same time, he calls you out of it. He tells you you're no longer enslaved by that sin. You're no longer in the wilderness. You're no longer on the other side of Jordan. You're on the promised land side. No longer locked there. You've been freed. We've passed over. And in Colossians chapter 3, we hear, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died to all that old stuff. You're no longer that person that you were. You are new in Christ. And if you aren't, you need to be. And I'll call you out and I'll say, come forward and we'll pray for you. We will lay hands on you. We'll do whatever it takes to bring you across the Jordan. Because Almighty God makes the way. And as I wrap this up, I want to recap some important points to remember. The Israelites were rewarded for honestly seeking Almighty God, and so is everybody who comes to him through the cross. He increased their faith by having them exercise it. You want your faith to get strong? You pray, God, make my faith strong. And guess what? He gives you exercises. Yeah, he gives you exercises to exercise your faith. You know, you can't build those spiritual faith muscles without exercising your faith. He'll do the same for all of us. Sometimes when things look impossible, he makes surprise endings. Surprise! He'll make an unexpected twist happen. Hey, think about that car coming at my wife and daughter and our grandson. The twist was the car kept going. It didn't stay in the lane. Went across the lane, hit the telephone pole. That was an unexpected twist. And it's all right to tell him, you know, God, I didn't see that one coming. I didn't see that. It's okay to tell him that, but remember to praise him. Praise him, even in the storms. He loves to swoop into situations that seem to be impossible. He loves to defy the very laws of earth. How many times have you been in some bad weather and you prayed to God and he made the way through it? How about being on a roof, putting some roofing on, huh? How many of us have done that? I've been on a roof when the weather was looking bad and the roof was open and I prayed, God, please hold back the rain. You made it rain for 40 days. I know you can hold it off for a couple of hours. And he does. He does. He answers those simple faith-based prayers. He loves to swoop in. We might be tempted to ask him when he's going to come through. God, we really need you. When are you going to be here? But we have to remember he's always on time. Even if it doesn't look like it to us, it's his timing. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. That's what Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 tells us. Look to him for those timely rescues. Look to him, especially when he tells you to step into the water by faith. If you're walking with him, if you are following Christ, if you are truly believing and knowing that he's the one leading you, then continue to step out, even if it looks dangerous, even if it looks like, you know, this doesn't look quite right. But if you know you're with him, you know you're in him, if you know that you are with him as a child of God, you can step into the water and he will make the way. Almighty God supernaturally dammed that river that blocked their access to his promise. He'll do the same for you. He can dam the conditions that prevent you from receiving his blessings, but you need to believe and walk as he instructs. These are great opportunities to grow in your intimacy with your Creator. You can walk with him, talk with him, but you need to believe and walk as he instructs. Do you think for a moment, if they would have changed their course in some way, shape, or form, they'd have stepped into the water and said, nah, it's too cold. Oh, no, that's too wide. Oh, it's too deep. Do you think they would have got across? No, we'd have read a few more chapters about how many more years they went around in the circles in the wilderness, okay? They obeyed. They grew in intimacy and trust in him. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. By going to him with our needs, we get to learn his character better than ever before. We get to experience his timing, not ours. He makes a way through any river that prevents us from reaching his promised land, and we only need to go where he leads. Even when he instructs us to step into that raging river before he dams it. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you will take care of us. We know that you're always on time. We know that we're raised with Christ and we're to seek those things which are above where Christ is. We know that we're to set our minds on things above, not on the things of the earth. We know that we've died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. But yet, Father, if there's anyone in this room today that maybe isn't sure, or maybe they don't know you, maybe they want to know you, maybe your spirit is pulling on their soul right now, Lord. You want to swoop into that situation that maybe seems impossible to them and maybe seems impossible to others. You can defy the very laws of earth to save people. And Father, so we lift them up to you. We call them out, Lord. We call them out for your timely rescue. Tell them to step into the water by faith. Help us all to remember Peter stepping out of the boat, Lord. We know that you stopped that river that blocked their access to your promises, and we know that you can stop the conditions that prevent anybody from coming to you and receiving your blessings. Help us all to believe and walk as you instruct. Help us all to grow in intimacy with you. Help us all to trust you more today than we did yesterday. Help us to come to you with our needs. Help us to learn your character better than ever before. Help us to always know that you are always on time. I pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, if you will, open your hymnals to number 297. Number 297, we'll sing together, God Will Take Care of You. Number 297.
This is Michaela. We're going to light feathers with us next Sunday.